Thank you. Welcome to you guys. It's great to have you here. We've been preaching a few things, and something that Pastor Tiens preached on last week was out of 1 Thessalonians 5. Awesome. Okay. And it's about being children of the light. Let's actually go to that scripture. So we start there. You are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Letter that Paul wrote. And something that we as the staff have been milling through and praying through in some the last little while. And I felt that the Lord said we must carry on with this. So if that's all right with everyone, we're going to carry on praying and worshiping and preaching on this kind of theme. Can I ask a question? We're going to get very interactive this evening, and I hope we're all going to be honest, okay? I'll try and be honest as well. yeah, because we're all trying to be honest, yeah. All right. How many of us are going through, can I have that first slide again? How many of us are going through a battle? It is probably one of the hardest times this year you're going through. It's really become very intense. Spiritually, it's become intense. Can I see more hands? Here we go. Thank you. Look around, everyone. Okay, it's not just you. You're not alone. All right. Can I tell a joke? Am I allowed to tell? No, I'm not going to tell that joke. That's just a bad joke. All right. So a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me a sermon. Can anyone remember the sermon? I did a bit of a series called Band of Brothers. Do you guys remember that? Okay. Can everyone remember the warning I gave in the Band of Brothers? I said, war's coming. There's a battle. And I spoke about the foxholes. Did that help? You're all going, yes. I'm going, no. That didn't help me at all. great. We spoke that there's a battle coming and it arrived. And now we all go, okay, great, so you told us so. Now what now? Okay? Can you remember I spoke a little bit for the new visitors? You're going to have to just hold out. You'll get along as we go along. I spoke about being in the hiding place. Remember? Foxholes? Ring a bell? Okay, awesome. We're all on the same page. Let's stand. Let's pray together. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Left, right, left, right. So church is going to become a little bit like a boot camp. Murray will be taking over just now. No one will be left. Have you been in those churches where you see everyone like it's slain, the spirit fall over and stuff? Murray will be able to do that physically with you. You won't be able to walk for a week. I'm just messing with you, Murray. All right, let's get serious. Let's invite the Lord. Otherwise, we're going nowhere, as we can see. Lord, this evening we come before you. And we say, Lord, that we want to be children of the light. Lord, we do not want to run in darkness anymore. Lord, we need to understand battle. And we pray, Lord, that you'll come and teach us how to battle. What does it mean to battle? Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the responsibility. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony. We thank you, Lord, that Christ Jesus is alive. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring light into darkness. But we pray, Lord, to be wise about it, to know how. Come and speak to us, each one of us. I pray that this evening every ear will open, every eye will see. We will see Jesus tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray that every person, Lord, anything that's ministering will be silent. Every voice silent in every mind tonight. And that we will come and plug into you. We plug out of the world. We plug out of our issues. We plug out of our problems. And tonight we plug into you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look to the guy next to you and tell him, keep frosty. All right, have a seat. Okay, it's not a weird term. It's a militant term. All right, we're going to talk army. We're in battle. It means keep focused. All right? So, guys, we had an awesome week. Yeah, the ladies also had a great night on, when did the ladies? Wednesday night. I heard you guys had a great night. There was no cook and tear. I'm sorry about that. But we as men had a really incredible night, and we were just sharing and going deep, and it was really good just to be men in a room. And so to all the men, you guys, grab your accountability partner and tune him. Keep frosty. Okay. The battle is the Lord's. And all this, where am I? I can't actually see anything yet. It's so small. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. All right, that's sort of one of my opening scriptures, and I want to keep that in the back of our minds. So what we're going to do tonight, we're standing in faith, so I can warn us where we're going. We're standing in faith that the Lord at the end of the sermon will come and speak to all of us. We're going to bring up the band and we're going to worship together. And then we're going to open up the floor that if the Holy Spirit has anything that he'd like to share and show us, that we'll get on that page. So I'm going to try and preach not too long this evening. As usual, it's 17 sermons that I put in one. When you're a novice like myself, you have to do that. You have to have 17 sermons. Tiens needs like half a scripture and he can make 17 sermons. I need 17 sermons to make one sermon. Okay. But so that's what we're going to stand in faith for. We're going to stand in faith for words and visions that the Lord's going to share with us, where we need to go and how we need to do this. So I'm just going to give us a little bit of a platform or a foundation that we can go home with and that we can take this further. But that's where I'm going to start. My beautiful wife, Matty, on my immediate right, had a dream a while back. And basically, it was a scene of an ex-camping, grounds of the army. The army used to camp there. But the whole army is at battle. And a few of these individuals came back to this campsite, what they were used to. And no one was there. And then they heard the enemy coming, and they started hiding in trees and stuff. And because there were so few and they were so scattered, the enemy actually came and took them out. So that's the first dream. We spoke about some of the dreams of the men. Some of the men will be mostly on board. Then I also shared a vision with the men that the Lord gave me a while back at one of the SOS. It's one of the ministries that we have, that we teach people, if you're new here, how to move in the Holy Spirit. And the Lord gave me a vision for Rondebosch, and they were basically a bunch of guys running into this darkness. They had these torches, not torches, like old school torches that were burning, and they were running deeper and deeper, a small little group, into the darkness, and it just got darker and darker and darker and darker. And then the Lord allowed me to pan out and have a view from above, and I could see the morning was breaking, but these guys were kept out running the morning. And the morning represented the Holy Spirit, or it represented Christ, and that we were actually in the dark. And so we were out running what the Lord was doing and where the Lord was, and we were running in the night. So I shared the word. I didn't even know that scripture existed until Pastor Tiens preached on it. That's the great thing about people like myself that don't know scripture as well as Pastor Tiens. The Lord actually proves you right through your visions now and then by scripture. Which is very important, guys. If you have a dream or a vision and it doesn't align to scripture, put it on the back burner. All right. Very important. If you feel, whoa, 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 you can always test. The Lord says test. We test these visions. We test these things by asking the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Last week I had a very interesting sermon. The lights went out. Tonight we've got like sounds and stuff. All right. That's probably the camera at the back there. The mother's room camera is giving a bit of problems. Sorry about that. Right, let's just move on. We need to be in the light. A while back, a few years ago, the Lord gave me another, I think it was a dream, I can't remember. And I was asking the Lord, how do you be hidden in Christ? What does it mean to be hidden in Christ? And the Lord gave me this, as I said, dream or vision. And it was snowing. Beautiful snow was falling everywhere. And I looked at the ground, and it looked just white. That's all I could see. And after I stood a while, I started seeing people were actually moving in the snow. But they were so hidden because they were so white in this snow that they couldn't be seen. And the Lord said to me, the enemy cannot see you when you are in that place. All right. So, hopefully there's a scripture that can actually prove that. Can we go to that scripture in Psalms? I can't quite find it here on mine. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. The Lord comes and washes us so clean that the devil or the enemy cannot see you. And that's where God calls us to be, in that place. Surrendered completely to him. So I'm going to look at two people in Scripture shortly this evening. We're going to look at Elijah. He's one of the old school prophets, or Old Testament prophets. And then we're going to look at Daniel. And we're going to do a little comparison between the two. So when we look at Elijah, we look at his life, and we see that he went to Ahab. Now, Ahab was the king at that time. Scripture says in 1 Kings 16:30 that he was the most evil king Israel had ever had. And they had some bad kings, but he was the most evil in the eyes of the Lord. He was the most evil. He reigned for 22 years, and Elijah was raised up in that time. And the Lord gave Elijah incredible authority in the spirit. Now, Elijah stopped the rain. He actually had authority to stop the rain. And by his word, if he spoke it, it would start raining again. And he went to Ahab, and he took on Ahab, and he spoke to Ahab, and he really went and challenged Ahab, the king at that time. So much so that Ahab actually wanted to kill him, because he just realized that this is not a good profit for me. This is not a good investment. And we see that if you read the scripture, and I ask that you guys go through the scriptures, what happens next is that he goes, and this Elijah, this crazy prophet, has a showdown with 850 prophets, about 400 prophets of Baal and 450 other prophets. And he has the showdown, and I don't know if you know the story. If you please go read it, as I say, if you don't, literally he calls down fire from the sky. And this fire consumes everything. They had to cut up a calf and consumes, and God shows that he's king. And then Elijah single-handedly kills 850 prophets or of Baal prophets. Okay, he takes a sword and chop, 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 chop. So if you visual, if you kill 850 people, you're gonna have a lot of blood on you. That's quite a hectic scene. It's quite a scene. We don't really go much into it. We just read over it. But this is a man that really moved in the authority of God. If that's not like awesome enough, this day that he's having, he then calls down the rain. Okay, he says, okay, let it rain. And it starts raining. Then this guy, who is in his old age, outruns a chariot. Okay, so I don't know how many Ben Johnsons or Usain Bolts or is in this room. I don't know if you can outrun a car. Maybe Tiens on the long term can do it if the car runs out of petrol. Those of us, I know there's like a lot of guys training for the comrades in our church. It's crazy. It's awesome. So if you want to train for one of those, for the comrades, this guy literally outran the cars that's driving up in front or whatever. This is the kind of speed he had. This is the kind of day that this guy has. What makes it so incredible about his life is that never before in Scripture has anyone done anything like this. He's the first man to have raised someone from the dead that's recorded. Okay? So this guy, before all the prophets before him, really moved in authority. Would you agree with me? Okay? He raised someone from the dead. He brought down fire from heaven. He made rain start, rain go. Okay? It's quite incredible the kind of authority that he had. Never seen in Scripture before. But why did he miss it? And that's what I want us to focus on. So if I can all ask that we all close our eyes, and we're going to listen to Scripture. We don't listen to Scripture enough. I don't want you to look up the Scriptures. So often we're so into looking up the Scriptures and we're reading it that we actually miss it. So I'm going to ask that we close our eyes, and we're going to go through 1 Kings 18. At least 19.
So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say,
may the gods deal with me, be it ever.
ever so severely if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.
Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die.
I've had enough, Lord,
he said.
Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.
Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said,
get up and eat.
He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said,
get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.
So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him.
What are you doing here, Elijah?
He replied,
I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too.
The Lord said,
go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.
Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him,
what are you doing here, Elijah?
He replied,
I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.
The Lord said to him,
go back the way you came, and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel. And anoint Elisha the son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael. And Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him.
Okay, can we stop it there? I don't know why it's doing that. Okay. Perfect. Now, when we go back to 1 Kings 18:13, Obadiah says and informs the prophet that he's actually kept 100 of the prophets safe, and that they are hiding in two different caves. And when we go back to that scripture in 1 Kings 19, the first one, verse 4, we see something very interesting. Next one, 1 Kings 19. There we go. It says, you see, he was supposed to take on Jezebel. Now what happened is he goes and he calls the whole of Israel. They have this showdown. He kills all the prophets. Okay. So basically, in front of all of Israel, imagine we're Israel, I kill all these prophets, whose side would you be on after that experience? You've just seen fire come from heaven. You just seen I slayed a whole lot of these oaks. I imagine you'd go, let's maybe take Bernie's side. It might be safer. Am I right? Would we be there? Praise the Lord. Some safe people in the house. Okay, so the next thing we see, the only person who was not there was Jezebel. That's the first thing we see. The whole of Israel came. Jezebel was the queen at that time, Ahab's wife. She was not there. Now, I know you've heard many sermons on Jezebel. We're not focusing on Jezebel this evening. Praise the Lord for once. We're actually focusing on the prophet. And we see that instead of him being there, Jezebel says, I will do the same to you as you did to my prophets. This guy goes and runs and hides. And then he says something very interesting. He says to the Lord, for I am no better than my fathers. Why would anyone say that? Because somewhere in his life, he thought he was better than his forefathers. Their pride came in. Because none of his forefathers had ever called down rain. None of his forefathers had ever done any of these kind of miracles, raised people from the dead. But pride had stepped into his life that allowed him to think he was better. And that's where we see his sin in his life. Are we all here together? There's something that we are obviously after here. Okay. Can we go to the next scripture? Do you see what God does? He says to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? In other words, why are you not with the Israelites? Why are you not with 100 prophets? But Elijah says to him, I'm the only one left. He lied to God knowing that there was 100 prophets that not put down their knees. Do you know that God asked him twice? Listen, if God asks you something twice, guess what? The first time, you probably got it wrong. God can hear, and God's not confused, and God doesn't need to check. So if God asks you a question twice, stop answering and start asking. Okay? Just a little hint. If God asks you a third time, then you know you're in deep, deep trouble, and you're not getting it. But he lied to God, and he said to him that I'm the only one left, knowing that he wasn't. It felt that way to him. All right? Often we get to work, and we're in the working place, and it's going really tough, and you feel isolated, all right? And you feel, oh, I'm all alone in this. No one understands, but you don't get it, all right? Nobody loves me. Can anyone relate to that? Have you ever felt that nobody loves you? Even a cat loves you, a dog loves you, but according to yourself, no one loves you because that's how you feel. And we see the prophet going on his emotions and what he was feeling in that thing, in that time. And we often hear about the small voice, and once again, I'm not going to go through the scriptures and give a great teaching. I'm terribly sorry. We're really trying to stand in faith that we're going to move in the end. So I just want to go through the principles. God told him in the small voice, okay, so we see the earthquake coming, and we see this amazing movement, but God was not in any of that. We see God in the small voice. And what God tells him to do, three things. Did you guys hear in the end there? He calls him to anoint two guys as king. Right, two kings, and then to get his the guy Elisha to take up his place. How many of those three things did he do? Does anyone know? Anyone want to take a guess? One. He only did one of those. Elijah later on went and anointed them as kings. He was disobedient to what God told him to do. And the Lord, because of that, had to move on and give the anointing to someone else who wanted to do what he had to do. All right, so we see disobedience. Now, I think it's more important that we focus on the positive than on the negative. We're going to look at the life of Daniel quickly, and we're just going to speak through it. All right. Your homework for this week, those that were in intercession, you've already done your homework. Of course you have. All right. Our homework for this week is to go read through the book of Daniel. And ask the Lord when you read the book, Lord, show me how to get it right. The awesome thing about Daniel is, you know that the Lord came and spoke to him about everything that would happen in time before Christ came and Christ coming. Probably about 600 years, Tiens, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere around there. 500, 400, there, somewhere there. A lot of years. A whole lot of years, the Lord came and told him what's going to happen. These kingdoms are going to come. This is going to happen. I'm going to allow this, and this is going to... How awesome is it to be so close to God, to hear his plans, not for your life and your little job, but but what God's going to do for the next couple of generations. All right? Dear Lord, where are you today at my job? Who's prayed that? I have. I'm the only one. Okay. Can the counselors please come up and pray for me? We're going to just stop right there. Okay. You know what the awesome thing about Daniel is? He's probably one of the best businessmen in the Bible. He is the best consultant that's ever existed. For all of us, that think that ministry is a little bit different than my workplace. Bernie, understand. You guys sit here and you do ministry. We do business. Well, Pastor Daniel understood business. You know that there was about four or five kings that raised up in his time, and each one put him in one of the highest positions in serving in the houses or serving over the parliament in those days because he was so excellent at what he did. He was so good at what he did because he had the Spirit of the Lord in him. But there's a few things that I want to focus on that I've written down that he had. One, he never stood alone. We read about his three friends. He goes to his three friends and says, guys, we got a problem. We're going to die. There's this dream this king had. He's not telling anyone what it is. Let's pray that God, can we pray together and that the Lord will show me what it is. All right? He never stood alone. He was accountable. He had no compromise. Daniel did not go have a beer with the guys afterwards. That's a joke. But hear what I'm saying. Often what we say is, yeah, but I got to like reach these unsaved people. And I need to get in their space. All right? Daniel never got in their space. What happened? They gave him the choice food. All right? It wasn't McDonald's, it was the choice food. It was the best food in the kingdom and the best wine because he served the king. Guess what he said? No, thank you. I don't want to eat defiled food. He did not go have a beer with the boys afterwards. All right. Daniel seeked God daily, three times a day. Morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. Always. He didn't even go have lunch with the guys at work. He was focused on what God was doing. Now, I'm not bringing condemnation and saying to you, Oaks, no more beer, all right? Especially Cape Town's got great craft beer, so I'm not saying that, please. All right? Most of my friends are winemakers. Altus is my witness, okay? So I can't go tell my mates, sorry, Oaks, no wine. This is off. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying, please see the heart of Daniel. Daniel was always obedient. He never compromised. He stood for righteousness. He had integrity. These were key things, but he never compromised. And he had intimacy with the Lord. He would rather go spend an hour in the morning with the Lord, 2 hours, whatever it was, than watch the news. All right? He would rather go have lunch with the Lord than go, whatever, gym. I go gym over lunch. Then go join me in gym. He would rather spend the evening with the Lord than go out at Need and Wembley and who knows where all these great places, HQ, wherever we all go for supper. Daniel seeked the Lord. And I need to just bring this home is that this man understood the heart of God because he asked and he seeked, not just for himself. We see Daniel where he prays. He prays for not himself, he prays for Israel. Lord, heal Israel. Deliver us out of Babylon. Bring us out, Lord. Bring us out of this place. You have a plan for our lives. First Corinthians 8, verse 3. But if one loves God truly, with affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, and grateful recognition of his blessing. He is known by God, recognized as worthy of his intimacy and love, and he is owned by him. In the Amplified Version, a very powerful way of looking And how do we seek the love of the Lord? So where am I going with this? I think I've even lost myself. Okay, I'm going to skip over those. So we're at battle at the moment. And the secret is that we do not go and think that we are alone. When you leave here on Sunday, and this is our sin, we think, okay, there's the church part, and there's my work part, and there's the cell part, and there's my sport part, and we put all these things in different boxes. But you know what? There's only one kingdom. And I love Nathan, awesome, the word that Nathan brought. One kingdom, the upside down kingdom. And the kingdom of God comes above everything. It comes above my job. It comes above my wife. It comes above the church. It comes above everything. And because it comes about everything, it's about my wife. It's about my job. It's about my church. Because the Lord has called me to serve in Shofar. The Lord, when we got married, this covenant is in it. Guess what? I can't pull out now. I can't go, I'm over it. Moving along. Can't do that. Because there's covenant. And what we need to learn is that when we go to the workplace, be it at Alan Gray, be it at the art store, be it wherever that you work, you are going there together with us. We're all going there. We're going there together. We see that in Daniel's life and his friends' lives. They served in different places. They weren't always together, but they were always accountable. They're always praying for one another, carrying on with what God was doing, understanding that it was greater than what they were just doing. It was bigger. It was better. It was more awesome. Always seeking that intimacy, always being fully surrendered unto the Lord. Can we show that clip quickly? I brought you guys a clip. Is everyone still awake? Are we still here? All right, are we amped? Are we ready? Okay. Okay, that was a quick, short clip that you couldn't see anything. It was so well edited. All right, so the scene out of Gladiator. Has everyone seen the movie Gladiator? Most of us, okay. Great. So there's this movie called Gladiator. And it's the opening scene where the Roman army of the north is taking on the Germanian army. And we see these hordes of guys standing there at the back, and they're shouting and screaming and stuff. And the Roman soldiers are just standing dead still. And they're just waiting. And the next thing, the command goes, and all of heaven breaks loose. Okay? And there's fireballs and stuff. And together they go with their shields. And they march forward in the scene that you couldn't quite see so well. So these Germanians all take the arrows and shoot. And everyone puts on the shield. And the guys from above put the shields above. And they are one unstoppable army. The Roman army was able to take on all these armies because of that. Now we know this. We've seen it. We've preached about it. You know that. Yes, we are army. Yes, we like the Romans. But the problem is most of the charismatic church are more like the Germanians. To be dead seriously honest. Are we not? Let's just be honest. It's me and my little kingdom. Woohoo! Yeah! For Jesus! And we go charging in. And we get taken out and we don't understand why. How can this be? I've got all things in Christ that is greater than something else in the world of the devil. I don't know, but I'm greater. What happens to us? We get very funny as a charismatic church because we don't understand order. We don't understand structure. But going back to the dream and the vision that I had, we are outrunning what the Lord is doing and where the Lord is at. The Lord gave me an incredible vision many, many years ago in Shofar, Stellenbosch. And we were an army, and we all had our shields. And we were storming the enemy. And the enemy saw us coming from the front, so he decided to attack us on the left. And each soldier, everyone, just took their shield and blocked to the left, the guy to his left. And then the enemy saw this, so they went for the right. And each soldier took his shield and blocked the guy on the right. Not blocking himself, blocking the man next to him. So if everyone does that, everyone's blocked. In the beginning of this year, the Lord reminded me of that vision that I had. But he showed me something I didn't see the first time. We were running out of the throne room of God. And the light was with us. We were actually in the light. There's a scene, I'm not a very big fan, but there's a scene in Lord of the Rings where the Fellowship of the Rings been attacked at this little castle. And they say, wait for the daybreak, wait for the daybreak, wait for the daybreak. And the next thing, all these guys come over the hill and charge the enemy off their horses. Anyone remember that? But the sun rises and the enemy looks up. And guess what the enemy sees? Only the sun. They are blinded. You see, God's calling us to wait upon the Lord and not run in by ourselves anymore. That is why so many of us have been taken out, because we're not in the hiding place. We're not in that foxhole. We're not in that place where God's called us to wait. In Psalms, we read 21 times. Is it 21 or 21 times where we read about waiting upon the Lord. Lead me in thine truth and teach me, for thou art God of my salvation. On thee I will wait all the day. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. God is calling us into the right timing. And many of the time we miss it because we outrun the Lord. And this evening we're going to trust that God's going to come and get us on his page and his pace. I just want to see if I've missed anything here. You see, God wants to really share incredible stuff with us. We read in Acts, a guy called Agabus, one of my favorite prophets. I only mentioned twice. Still one of my favorite. He sees a storm. The Lord gives him a vision. There's a famine coming. Now, for most of us, when we see something in here, we perceive it through evil. Does that make sense? Most of the warnings that we get, most of the prayers that we get is a bad connotation. There's war coming. Ugh. Or the devil is stealing from me. Or the devil's doing this. Or the devil's doing that. We always know what the devil's doing. Most of the time, we know what the devil's doing in our lives. When you come to sell, if you want to know what the devil's doing, come to sell. The people are going to tell you what the devil's doing. It's true. We know. We laugh because it's true. Having a bad week. My boss doesn't believe in Jesus. All hell broke loose. Okay? Daniel worked for the most wicked men on earth. I don't see him talking like that in Scripture. Dear Lord, bad day. Nebuchadnezzar killed everyone. Prophets dying left, right, and center. It's hectic. Goes to his three friends, please pray for me. I've got a headache. Do you have a Panado? Do I perceive my battle through the eyes of Christ, or do I see the blessings through the eyes of the devil? You see, this prophet, he gets a bad word. Let me tell you, if someone says there's a famine coming, it's not a good word. But you know what the response of the church is? Awesome. We've got brothers down there. Let's get, and as each man could, got what he could and sent relief to the people before the famine even came. That's someone that's got the eyes of Jesus. You see, God could come and share a lot of negative things to Daniel. Okay, so there's this guy, and he's got a horn, and he's going to kill this guy, and then there's this guy, and then this guy kills this guy, and it's hectic, and then Jesus comes. But it ends with Jesus, and Daniel goes, awesome. Wow. Because he gets to see God's plan. In an evil, demented world, he sees Jesus. And that's what the Lord is calling each one of us to see in our workplace, in church, in cell, wherever we go. What is God doing? God has called us to obedience. Let us learn from the other prophet. Let us learn and see that God's called us to a place of obedience. You know what? If God says take that job, even if it pays less, I suggest you take it. Because there's a blessing there. God, where he leads, he feeds. We see in Elijah's life where the Lord says to him, when he goes to Ahab and tunes him, listen, but you're an evil dude, I'm going to stop the rain, and rain, stop. Ahab comes to kill him. You know what God says? He says, go to that place. I will at that place give you food. The ravens will feed you over there. If you're not over there, you're not going to receive your blessing. You'll not be able to bring the relief to that famine if you're not over there. If he went anywhere else, there would have been food lying on the ground there. All right? So luckily in that stage, he was still obedient to the Lord. So God's called us to be obedient. God has called you to work in the place you work. You know, if you believe that, the way you look at your job will be different. If you know that there's a plan and a purpose for you serving in that building, in that business, God will raise you up to be like Daniel. Can I call the band to the front? So there's two things that I want to hammer home for us. And we're going to be talking about this over the next while. How do I hold fast in the storm? You see, God calls us to be like an anchor of a boat in the storm. All right? We find it through intimacy and throughout and without compromise. I want to encourage every one of you. God has made it possible for you to not compromise. Now, not compromising will be something different to everyone else. The Lord made me, the Lord was crazy enough to put me in a youth pastor position in Stellenbosch a few years ago. You know what the Lord told me to do? He said to me, now remember, all my friends are, or many of my friends are winemakers. He said to me, you're a youth pastor, you cannot drink alcohol. Did he say it to my friend, the winemaker? No, he said it to me. Why? Because I was representing something bigger than myself. If my youth saw me drinking, it would be a stumbling block in their lives. So I was obedient. Do I like wine? Yes. I love a Merlot. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And Bolton. Lots and lots of Bolton. But I was obedient to what God said to me because I realized, well, the Lord was calling me to a place. He called me over there. And I had to be obedient to what over there meant. So do not compromise on the things the Lord shows you in that place. If the guys are swearing and carrying on at work, you don't have to join them. You can make a stand. You can stand up and leave the conversation. You don't have to compromise. A very good friend of mine, Dear Funafaifa, some of you all know him, he's big. He's a big boy. And he's a rechte boersien. He's as Afrikaans boersien as they come. He's a farmer, but in every sense of the word. It took me a long while to understand DF. But DF is a no-compromise kind of guy. And he went into stock exchange, of all things. Maar in graan. In grain. Stock exchange in grain. As I understand, I don't understand much, but as I understand. And The one guy came and put one of these little new agey Buddha builder on everyone's desk and said that those things, this is going to be a blessing to everyone. And Diouf stood up and he took this thing and he threw it in the bin. And in front of everyone, now this is, these are big boys that make big money, okay? DF has anyone lost R1 million in a day? Okay, around DF, apparently that happens a lot. Okay, these are the kind of, this is the kind of size of people we're talking about. They can lose R1 million a day and it doesn't make a difference. All right. He stands up in front of everyone. He says, I will not have this thing on my desk. I'm a Christian. And just to prove the point, I pray that the Lord will show you that this thing is off. That was it. That week, DF stocks went up. Everyone else's stocks went down. Everyone. Guess what happened the next week? No more Buddha. It takes one man. He's a big man. I'm going to give it to him. Even if he was wrong, no one would have put it in his face. It takes one man to say no. To say, this is what I stand for, and the Lord will back you. Amen. Because he's behind you. Now remember the band of brothers, right? We're all band of brothers. Keep it frosty. Now what the problem with the band of brothers is they were paratroopers. We're not called to be paratroopers. We are not dropped and surrounded by the enemy. The breastplate and the armor that the Lord gives us, there's nothing to cover your back. Because the Lord has got your back. When you come and you allow the Lord in, and you invite the Lord in, when DF came to that company, he anointed that place. He prayed over it. And he said, Lord, I pray for favor because I am your child. Because that's how DF moves. I learned a lot from that Afrikaner. Praise the Lord. We English can still learn. God has called us to move in that place. And if you are willing to make that stand, guess what? God will back you 100%. And the best is you're not alone there. We're all there together. If it's going hard, guess what? You tell yourself, guys, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm standing for. Let's put our faith together. I've got a really, really bad secretary. I've got a real guy in the corner, keeps on blaspheming, using the name of the Lord, and I've never challenged him. I've never got in that place. Stand in faith with me that I can just say, dude, please don't do that. Like, rather use Allah's name, or there's many other gods you can use, but don't use my God's name. God will back you up. And the funny thing is, the people in your business, they will respect you as they respected Daniel. Because you know what? The guys that turned against Daniel, they all died. Daniel went to the lion's den, hanged out with a few lions, came out. Guess what happened to other oaks? They also got to hang out with the lions. They didn't come back. All right. That's me for tonight. We're going to worship together. We're going to stand in faith that the Lord will bring us that place of intimacy. God wants you to hear his voice daily. I know that there's many of us. We do not hear the Lord's voice. We do not hear the Lord's voice in our marriage. We do not hear the Lord's voice in our relationships. We do not hear the Lord's voice in our work. We do not hear the Lord's voice in church. And we're going to ask the Lord for intimacy. Intimacy is the most beautiful, beautiful gift that God can give us. And especially as men, the Lord wants to break something inside of us that we can experience that intimacy. That we can have no compromise. That we can be obedient. If you can't hear, you can't be obedient. We need to hear. And that comes in intimacy.